Good to see everybody. As we have been doing over the past several months, we are rotating different series, the series in the book of Proverbs and one dealing with the cross of Christ and another in the book of Philippians. And then every fourth week, it's preacher's choice. And so that's what it is today. And today we're going to be looking at the subject of better to be a wise servant than a rich fool. And on the series note, I am enjoying rotating series, and because that way, if you don't like one, you can just wait till the next week. And so I am liking doing it in this way, and I appreciate your feedback on that if you like that, the way we're doing that too. But today, Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to be getting the majority of the lesson from. So I ask you this, how important would a question have to be for you to interrupt me during the lesson? Rex might do it, but but the rest of you probably wouldn't. But, you know, how important would a question have to be for you to interrupt Jesus if he were the one doing the teaching? And how important would the question have to be for you to interrupt Jesus if he were teaching on the difference between folks who go to heaven and those who go to hell? Well, that's exactly what happened here in Luke chapter 12. And so here we have somebody that's listening to Jesus, and they feel like they have something important enough that they need to interrupt him and ask this question. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 8, Jesus speaking, "I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So here, you know, the subject is judgment and teaching this lesson. And then the next verse says, "And someone in the crowd said, 'Teacher, hey, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" And have you ever been in a situation where something is being said or is being taught, and somebody said, I've got a question," and it's totally irrelevant to what is being taught, or it certainly does not, you know, seem to be that important? Maybe, "Can I go get a drink of water?" You know, it may be something like that. And Beth is shaking her. That probably happens all the time in school with kids. You know, I had a train of thought going here, and you've totally derailed the train. And so Jesus here has a train of thought, and it's totally derailed here by this man asking this question. And so certainly I think that we can appreciate that. And when he brings up this particular question about, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me," it certainly indicates where his mind is when you're thinking about possessions. And certainly, you know, we're in a time of year when a lot of people are expecting to get something, or they're wanting something. And, you know, what am I going to have? What are people going to give me? And so people can easily get caught up in the joy of possessions and lose sight of what is truly important. So we want to notice here what it is that Jesus said to this man and to his brother, and what Jesus then said to the crowds that were there witnessing this question, and what he said to his disciples after this because of this discussion. So what is it that Jesus said? Well, not a lot really to deal with. He didn't give the answer the man was looking for. because the man is saying, will you please tell him to do what it is that he needs to do? You know, so it's all focused on his brother. And Jesus says, he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And the word that's used to you here is plural. So Jesus is really speaking to both of them. I'm not an arbitrator over either one of you, but it's interesting because Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the judge, but my judgment is really not about your petty, you know, squabble. My judgment, he is talking about in verses 8 through 12, he's wanting to bring people's attention to things that are eternal, things that are much more important than this, but this man wanted Jesus' attention to be turned to some minor issue over, you know, property rights or money, and Jesus did not, you know, take the bait here to go and answer this in the way that the man would want. But there are a few points that
Let us pray. Dear our merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and with reverence to your name. We thank you for the ability you've given to us to come to you in prayer with our problems and our anxieties. We thank you for the country you've given to us that we can worship without persecution. And we ask that you help those who are in power, that they do not affect our ability to worship openly and teach others. We thank you for the relationship we have with you and with each other, as we can support each other in learning about you and coming to greater understanding of your word. We thank you for the promise you've given to us in your word, that it gives us comfort on this earth to know that this isn't the end and that we have hope for the life after. We ask that you help those who cannot join us and cannot share the relationship we have in this world with each other, that they may be able to join us again and learn about you and study with us. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word as we go throughout our lives, that we are not greedy in anything, and that we have our minds set on the one true hope. We ask that you help us to let you shine through us and to show the goodness of the promise to others, that they may come to an understanding of you. We ask that you help us to be patient and have wisdom in our dealings and keep prayer in our lives regularly. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we can have the hope of life after, and that we do not have to be caught up in this world's dealings. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.